Today on Movie Rollouts, we review Captain America: Civil War. It's time for Movie Rollers. Hi, this is Joe.
Hi, it's Rashmi.
And Yasdi as well.
Movie Rollers is your weekly dose of film reviews, movie news, and general banter in theatres, on DVD, on streaming, or in the back of an airplane. If you love the movies, this show is for you. Happy Saturday.
Yay.
Hello.
It's the weekend.
Why am I always so sing-song at the start?
I think we all are.
Well, yeah, I guess it's that initial burst of energy that...
Yeah.
We're all excited to do this, right?
That's true.
Yes.
We have a big movie too.
I am excited to hear what you think.
We have a big movie to talk about this week, Captain America: Civil War. But before we do that, let's do our weekly segment on I Can't Find Anything to Watch on Netflix. So, guys, what are your Netflix picks for the week?
Joe, why don't you go first?
I never go first.
Okay,
I'll go first.
Go ahead.
So anybody who knows me knows that I like certain genres and I don't like certain genres. The ones I don't like or I don't really resonate with are horror. The ones I really like are coming-of-age movies or romantic comedies. Yes, chick flicks. And that's kind of, I don't think everybody knows that. I think it's the most difficult thing to do in movies is make a good romantic comedy. And I have a special place up at the top for certain very special romantic comedies. And one of them is now on Netflix.
Cool.
And that movie is While You Were Sleeping.
Oh, I love that movie.
Is that Gerard Butler?
No, it's Sandra Bullock.
Oh, yeah.
Sandra Bullock.
Yes. And I don't know, it's like a fix me up. I mean, I must have watched that movie, I don't know, 14, 15 times.
It's a hug.
It's a hug. And if you're ever feeling bad, if you're having a bad day, come back and watch While You Were Sleeping. It's about all the right things done with authenticity. It's about family. It's about finding yourself in a city. It's about identity. It's about
loneliness.
Please don't say you haven't seen it. Oh my God, we should stop this recording right now until Joe goes and watches.
Such a sweet. Yeah, you know, I think that the good romantic comedies, Yazdi, have the ability to tell the truth packaged in a very edible way.
Right.
I like them too. Don't get me wrong. I'm not Mr. Humbug here. But it's not my favorite genre only because I think, for the reasons Yazdi stated, it's really hard to do well. And there are so many mediocre ones out there. So I think I get a little tired of them only because they have to be exceptional for them to get my attention.
Yeah.
So and this is one of those exceptional ones,
I mean, I don't know. There's something about it which works with me every single time. The premise of the movie is that she is, she's alone and she's a ticket booth collector at the metro in Chicago. And she's always like this man who comes through and gets on the subway. And one day that man happens to get sick and is taken to the hospital while he's in a coma, and she rushes back to make sure he's okay. And his family mistakes her for his fiance or his girlfriend.
And they kind of
embrace her, and she has to go through this lie because she falls in love with the family even more than she cared for this guy. And then slowly the guy's younger brother, who is the suspicious one, starts wondering if, you know, what's going on with her. So anyway, you said it perfectly. It's a hug, and it's on Netflix, and you can get a hug every night watching it on Netflix. So there you go.
It is rather lovely.
Rashmi.
That's a good choice. So my choice is The Truman Show. This is an older movie. It's from 1998, and it stars Jim Carrey, Ed Harris, and Laura Linney. And it's actually Jim Carrey in a more serious role. Truman Burbank is the star of The Truman Show, which is actually a 24-hours-a-day TV phenomenon that broadcasts every aspect of his life. But the key thing here is that he doesn't know he's in a show. So he just lives his life, and everything around him is actually a broadcast show. So it kind of takes on reality TV before I think reality TV was a phenomenon. But I just love this movie for the endearing character that Jim Carrey manages to convey. And just, I think, our insatiable appetite of all things real.
I like that one a lot as well. I mean, I remember when it came out thinking Jim Carrey in a serious role. And I think it really, you know, it awoke us to the talent that is Jim Carrey when he's on his game. But also the movie has so many themes about life, the way that we live, the way that we look at entertainment. I mean, it's a very, very deep movie. Good choice.
Yeah, and you know, it was written by Andrew Niccol, who did, you know, he's done Gattaca and he's done so many movies we love. And it's directed by Peter Weir, who I wish would make a movie again. He made a series of amazing films in the early 90s. And yeah, and it's very prescient. It's like, mm-hmm. When did this movie come out?
1998.
And we're still struggling
And it's still relevant.
Yeah.
Like, I think you could put it on and still draw so much relevance to today's world.
Yeah.
Fascinating. I mean, it got under my skin the first time we watched it, Joe, and it's never left me in all these years.
Yeah, good stuff.
Joe.
I'm going strictly mainstream, but this is kind of one of those catch me while you can type situations, because this movie is doing what a lot of movies do with Netflix periodically, which is disappear. Mm. So you have until May 23rd to catch my pick, which is Black Hawk Down. Mm. I hope I haven't recommended it before in the Netflix, but it's one of my favorite movies of all time. And the only reason I bring it up is because I'm kind of heartbroken to see it there. I've always had this level of comfort seeing it there in my queue, because it's a go-to movie for me. It's a terrific Ridley Scott movie, Ewan McGregor, Tom Sizemore, a whole lot of people who is escaping my mind, and it's set basically in the Somalian conflict in the 90s. It's just a terrifically well-made action movie. It's tense, it's frightening, it's not especially political in terms of its viewpoint. It doesn't get into the reasons for conflict, but it does very accurately depict what it's like to be behind enemy lines, and just a fantastic ride. One of my real favorite action movies of all time, Black Hawk Down.
What's to say? I agree.
I've never watched it yet.
I know, I can't get Rashmi to watch it because...
I know, we have the DVD, and so Joe actually loaded the DVD onto my iPad, and mm-hmm. I kind of promise myself every time I'm traveling, I'm going to watch it, but alas, the good wife always wins.
Well, it's well worth the price of admission, and catch it while you can, because May 23rd, it disappears from Netflix.
Yeah.
It's kind of frustrating that they do that. I always have this vision of Netflix being this library of every movie ever made available all the time for everyone, and the studios don't want that. They I think they see it as a way of generating revenue from movies, but they never want to discourage us doing what is very profitable for them and actually buying the disc. So it kind of kills me that I can't have like my perfect library in my Netflix queue. But
yeah. And it's interesting, I think Ridley Scott, you know, it speaks to his versatility, you know. I mean, he makes The Martian, he does Thelma and Louise, he does Blade Runner, and he does a full-out war movie like that. He does Gladiator. Talk about versatility.
Yeah.
Alien. The Prometheus universe. I mean, yeah, he's amazing. Yeah. And he really tries his hand at everything. I mean, that's what's remarkable. Okay. Let's move on then to our review of the week, which is Captain America Civil War. So, Rashmi, I think you're going to tell us about this.
Yeah, and I'm actually deciding to read the longer intro. Normally, I just do the two-liner, but I'm actually going to read this because it will educate me a little bit, not to give anything away. Okay, so Marvel's Captain America Civil War finds Steve Rogers leading the newly formed team of Avengers in their continued efforts to safeguard humanity. But after another incident involving the Avengers results in collateral damage, political pressure mounts to install a system of accountability, headed by a governing body to oversee and direct the team. The new status quo fractures the Avengers, resulting in two camps, one led by Steve Rogers and his desire for the Avengers to remain free to defend humanity without government interference, and the other following Tony Stark's surprising decision to support government oversight and accountability. So this is the whole team Captain versus team Iron Man. Okay, so this is directed by Anthony and Joe Russo. It's written by Christopher Marcus and Steve McFeely. It opened yesterday, Friday, May the 6th, and it stars, my God, everyone. This stars all the people you can ever imagine in Hollywood, including Chris Evans, Robert Downey Jr., Scarlett Johansson, Sebastian Stan, Anthony Mackie, Don Cheadle, Jeremy Renner, Chadwick Boseman, Paul Bettany, Elizabeth Olsen, Paul Rudd, Emily Van Camp, Marissa Tomei. I literally could go on for another half an hour, but I won't. So, tell me, Yazdi and Joe, were you team Captain or team Iron Man? Joe, I'm dying to hear what you thought.
So you know that The Winter Soldier from a couple of years ago was probably one of my favorite movies last year.
And Yazdi too, right?
Of that year. Yes. I thought it was brilliant. I think it was like my number two or three movie that year. I mean, I thought it was brilliant. And so I came in, you know, with a little trepidation to this one to see if they could match it. Captain America has never been my favorite of the comic book heroes. But, you know, what they've done with that movie series has been good. So this is another very worthwhile entry in the series. I don't think it lives up to the heights of Winter Soldier. I think it's not quite as cleverly constructed for an audience. I think they set up the conflict, but you know, there's many, many good things to say about this movie. My one little criticism is sometimes it felt like I was at a Comic-Con convention. There were so many costumed heroes in this movie that were wedged in that it reminded me somewhat of what they did with Batman versus Superman, albeit 10 times better.
Yazdi. Also a lover of
what Joe said,
Captain America.
He stole my words. I gave him a dirty look while he was talking. So, I mean, I don't get hard on with superhero movies. I like them. I enjoy them, but I don't like live for them. And I've always enjoyed them. And within the superhero, and I'm by no means an expert. I can't tell my X-Men.
Yeah, no, I'm an outsider as well.
I'm a complete. And within that whole universe, it's generally acknowledged that Marvel does a better job than, you know, DC. And then within the Marvel universe, I have always liked Captain America. I love the first movie. I love the tone of it. And the second movie was even better. I mean, Winter Soldier, I've seen it three times at least, if not twice. And it holds up remarkably well. And this one is made by the same directors as Winter Soldier.
Team, yeah.
I think they're brothers.
Joe and Anthony Russo.
And so I had very high expectations for this. And like you, Joe, this is no Winter Soldier. This is not even close to Winter Soldier, which is kind of a disappointment because I thought the quality of the Captain America movies will sequentially increase with each new entry in the movie. And I think for several reasons, we can discuss this some more, but for one thing, it seemed to me like this was not a Captain America movie at all, but it seemed to me like Avengers 3. Seems to me completely, 100% like Avengers 3. It's a little bit cluttered and bloated, you know, as Age of Ultron was, the second Avengers movie, but it was entertaining. So I won't deny that. It's entertaining.
Yeah, I think I'm with you, but probably a little less happy about it. So Avengers, X-Men, the whole Marvel and DC Comics universe, and then the one-offs. There are a lot of superheroes and associated movies that go with them these days. So for me, a lot of them are beginning to merge together, literally and physically now as we see. But despite that, and given how many of these movies and these characters keep appearing in each other's movies, I don't know where we are in any given linear story anymore.
Yeah,
I still feel this was fun to watch, but it felt like more of like a drinking from a fire hose for me.
Yeah.
I think my major complaint is that it's supposed to be a civil war, and I never thought I'd say this, but unlike Batman versus Superman, where that's the central core, which I think it's supposed to be here, this just didn't come across to me very well because this is good versus good.
Right. And I think that's a very, very fair criticism I hear. And I think, you know, the whole, and I think this was intentional, but I think the whole time that we're having these two opposing camps, you felt constantly as if they were pulling punches and not trying to hurt each other, which took a lot of tension out of the conflict. I mean, when you watch Batman versus Superman, as appalling as that movie was, so we don't need to go there, there was a genuine sense that these guys were out to get each other. You know, I think they were they were adversaries. Whereas here, when you have the two teams of superheroes, when they're kind of going after each other, you kind of feel like they're like, you know, Pulling punches is the best way I can kind of state it. They're not using their abilities to their max to defeat their adversaries. They're all trying to have basically a very heated argument,
yeah,
as opposed to a civil, yeah, war.
So,
and that's exactly what I wrote. This is like a subtle argument.
During our podcast, I'm going to quote many, many, many lines from the New York Times review of this movie. I really urge people to read the New York Times review. This is why A.O. Scott gets paid good money.
And we don't.
Yeah, we haven't made a single dollar. But here's, I mean, and me personally, I did not have an issue with the fact that it's not really a civil war. I mean, the Marvel family kind of really loves
don't
each other.
Don't call it civil war,
no,
then.
Yeah, exactly. But right? Then my point is that the title is a little bit misleading. So here's what he writes. He says, to call the fighting that ensues a civil war seems a bit grandiose. A more honest title would have been Captain America Collegial Misunderstanding.
Yes.
Or Captain America Intramural Pickup Game. Because
yes,
that's what happens too. You know, once, you know, Captain Rogers and Tony Stark have this disagreement, then it becomes like a pickup game. On whose side? Okay, you're on my side, you're on my side.
Right.
Come on.
Yeah.
So it becomes kind of, so yeah, it was kind of interesting.
I mean, the other thing is that, you know, there was this amazing line, which was very promising. It comes fairly at the beginning of the movie. It says, victory at the cost of innocence is no victory at all. But we don't get or spend any time or any tension exploring that moral dilemma. And there's no issues or situations that occur that allow us to test, should the superheroes be a pseudo police force? So something like Eye in the Sky did this so well, beautifully, yeah, right? That whole moral dilemma, mm-hmm, of collateral damage. And that's what I wanted from Captain America Civil War. The minor complaint I have here is everyone in the kitchen sink is in here. And I think what Winter Soldier did so well and what the Captain America franchise did so well was they were focused stories. Here, it's everyone and their mother. I don't know why it's even called Captain America.
Yeah, I mean, I think kind of like Batman versus Superman, they start throwing in these characters and they're building out these additional franchises and universes. And what the original Avengers movie did so brilliantly was, even though it was chock full of characters, everyone had their own arc, everyone had their own story, everyone had their own motives, and it was really nicely crafted. This one, it just feels like they're throwing them in, and it feels very deliberately commercial. It's like, let's build up Ant-Man a little bit. You know, he's had his kind of origin movie. You know, now let's build him up a little bit to open up the door for him to be in more movies and all that kind of stuff. I mean, you know, and we are getting individual movies for many of these characters. I recently learned Black Widow's,
yes,
know, just the Scarlett,
yes,
Johansson's, yeah, getting her own
I'm
movie.
I'm glad you mentioned that,
you know,
yeah,
which I was really excited about after seeing her in the Avengers. But, you know, this franchise is really starting to saturate me a little bit. I'm not a comic book aficionado, so I'm not super excited to see, you know, this proliferation of comic book movies. But they do very well, and to Marvel's credit, they are almost without exception entertaining. They've done a really, really great job of making these movies good, fun enterprises. They're just not special anymore because we have so many of them.
So that's, I mean, I was going to say the best thing about this movie for me was the appearance of Spider-Man and Ant-Man, which just elevated this movie to joyfulness whenever they were on. Like this Spider-Man, and again, I never thought I would be ready for a third iteration of Spider-Man, but this Spider-Man was the Peter Parker I wanted. He was joyful and fun and light and cocky and young, right? That's what Peter Parker always was. And so I'm really excited about this particular Spider-Man and hope this one gets to stay. And I loved seeing Paul Rudd's Ant-Man. Ant-Man is a great character for me. And that was a superior movie.
Yeah, I mean, I think if this movie had been called Avengers 3, I think I would have not had all the problems I did. I really had a problem because at some point it became like one of those, you know, Las Vegas revolving stage shows where somebody new comes along, some new superhero comes along.
Yes.
And it was fun. Yes, it was great to see Spider-Man. It was great to see Ant-Man. And I won't say who else comes because really pretty much everybody in the Marvel Universe seems to show up. But then it got just annoying. It became like this kind of, I don't know, calling the numbers, you know, checking off tick boxes. Okay, who else have we missed? Okay, we should. So it kind of took away from the from the focus of the movie, from the ingenuity
exactly
of the movie.
Focus, that was the word. There was none.
And, you know, I mean, I agree with you. The Spider-Man casting was great. Do you know that the actor who is playing Spider-Man, Tom Hollander, was the little boy in the movie The Impossible? Remember, with Ewan McGregor and Naomi Watts? Yes. He was the older son. So that's so they
terrific.
So I'm glad they picked that. I'm sorry, I'm going to keep doing this, but this is what A.O. Scott has to say about this. He says, Captain America Civil War is like the last number at a big benefit concert when a mob of pop stars squeezes onto the stage to sing This Land Is Your Land or whatever. Some performers sing a whole verse, others shake maracas for the cause and stare off into the middle distance.
That's great.
Which is exactly
it's
what
brilliant.
It is.
You yeah,
know,
it
they
is
all
brilliant.
Somehow shake their, some are more committed than others, you know. Like when Jeremy Renner showed up, I was like...
Really?
I wasn't that excited.
Then I didn't understand why Thor and the Hulk don't turn up.
Yeah, why didn't the Hulk? I want the
clearly
Hulk.
Clearly it was a contracting issue, right?
I mean, there was just not enough space for them. I think in some original draft of this script, they probably were. But, I mean, where would you have put them?
Yeah.
Like, seriously, at what point would this movie have had even a line of dialogue for these people to come in? As it stands, it's 2.5 hours long, and I think that was half an hour too long.
I agree.
I think the early part of the movie, with the, you know, except for the action sequences, you know, dragged a little bit. I think it picked up steam, and it didn't go completely to crazy town towards the end. So it was, its pacing was okay, but my overall sense was that this was, you know, this could have been a very tight 2-hour movie.
We could have got rid of 5 superheroes in that movie and not missed them.
Correct.
Yeah.
I mean, we really could.
You know, I'm going to nitpick a little bit here, but the plot was really kind of annoying, especially with Captain America trying to protect his, you know, I forget what the Winter Soldier. You know, the whole time it's like, you know, let's put him away, and you know, everyone's like trying to put him away, shut him down, and freeze him, and at the end of the movie, after Captain America's gone through hell to have that not happen, he's like, well, you know, why don't they just put me away and freeze me for a while so that...
Well, I think that's the issue with the movie, right? I think what's happened is that story alone would have been good. But clearly, Marvel felt like there wasn't enough story in that plot line. And so that's why we end up with this Civil War. And so... The fact that we're there for 2.5 hours doesn't resolve either issue.
Comes from the comic book, and I'm not quite sure the origins of that, but I do think that the Civil War component was brought to introduce as many of these characters in the plot line as they could. It justifies having 10 right off the bat.
Yeah. I mean, I have to say, I did like the fight scenes. There were some quite innovative fight scenes, some good choreographed fight scenes, and I tell you what, I want to know what products Black Widow uses on her hair, because despite a ton of tumbliness and kick jumps and cool somersaults, her hair did not move.
It's super hair.
I want those products.
You don't want hair to move? I think hair should move, no?
But hers didn't. Hers looked fantastic.
Oh, okay. I don't have any problem with Civil War. I mean, it was kind of...
Where was the civility? But where was the civility?
Well, it kind of creates a rift. You know, all the people who were part of the Avengers, and, you know, poor Tony Stark looks wistfully at the Avengers sign, you know, bemoaning that they're all split apart in one part of the movie. I could see that, but...
All right.
And I fully agree. There's too much... This could be a very good 2-hour movie.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the things I loved about The Winter Soldier is the action scenes. And they were so beautifully choreographed.
Absolutely. And the elevator scene alone.
Oh, the elevator scene is one
just,
for the...
It's like stands out.
Yeah, it's one for the ages. And some of the early... As the movie wore on, some of the action scenes got better. But some of the early action scenes were actually even incomprehensible. I mean, they were like just things blowing up. Again, that same... You know, it was just mass mayhem. And I was like,
yeah,
is this even made by the same?
There was a lot of fast cuts in those.
Very
first...
fast cuts. You couldn't see. It was deliberately...
blurry.
No, it was deliberately hastened, it seemed.
So I think it's that technique where they really... like it's a really fast shutter speed, so everything's very crisp. You don't see any kind of blurring or smoothing of the images. So it has the appearance that everything's moving really quick. And it looks great in action scenes. Spielberg used it very effectively on the beach scene in Private Ryan. So that's the first time I kind of noticed that technique. But they've done that here, and they overdid it. Because in Winter Soldier, it made everything look crisp and sharp. And here, it just made everything almost like a flick book.
I couldn't tell if that was the 3D and the light. So I wanted to ask you guys what you thought of the 3D. So
it looked like a flip book. It looked like somebody had fast-forwarded, like in one of your old VHS tapes.
It's a really fast exposure shutter time. So it just makes everything look... Like say, like flip frames, you know. Yeah. It's
so what did you think of the 3D? I mean, we were lucky enough to see this one in 3D, but again, the screen was just too dark for me. But what did you think? I mean,
no gimmicks. I mean, you know, I didn't feel like they were, you know, exploiting it. But I also felt that they weren't really using it narratively either. So I personally would save the money. I don't think it added to the experience. Yeah. It certainly didn't take it away, but... Again, these movies are always going to be in 3D because of the additional revenue that those movies bring. You can't hit box office numbers now without 3D.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I mean, the 3D was perfectly serviceable, but I didn't think it added any much. And the price you're paying for the darkness, you know, you can probably watch the colors pop up a little bit better.
It didn't annoy me. I don't know if this was a 3D shoot or if this was a 3D conversion. But it was fine. It was perfectly well done, but...
Yeah, and to give credit where it's due, because it seems like we might be summing up, there is a great little scene. I think the only scene in the movie which justifies the Civil War title, where you know the two sides kind of meet at this abandoned airport. It's not abandoned, maybe they meet at this airport. It's not the airport, the terminal part of the airport.
No, it's the runway.
The runway, and they have this giant showdown. And there was a little bit of playfulness in that. Actually, there was a lot of playfulness in that. Kind of reminded me of the playfulness in Ant-Man. You know,
and
which included the Ant-Man character
there. Stole the show.
Totally.
So that was done with a lot of ingenuity, a sense of, you know, mischief and cleverness. And I think the rest of the movie had that.
Yeah.
Okay, sum up then, Yazdi. That sounded like
you were getting to. What did A.O. Scott think of
the movie? 7 out of 10 for me. It's entertaining. It's already the fifth highest grossing single day opening ever. So I don't think it really matters what any one of us have to say about this movie at this point. People are going to go out and see it. If somebody told me they did this for commercial reasons, I would understand it. But I still don't know why this movie is called Captain America versus Avengers. It could have been Avengers Civil War.
Yes.
Yeah.
But anyway, be that as it may, it's not as good as Winter Soldier personally for me. And I've been reading a lot of reviews and people seem to be loving this. And a lot of people are saying this is the best amongst the Avengers and amongst the Captain America series even. So I don't agree with that. It's good to watch. 7 out of 10.
Joe?
Yeah, a 7 out of 10 for me as well. I think it's a useful reminder of the... fun that these movies should be. And you know, despite, you know, we always talk about my reference point of movies being Nolan's Batman series, this shows you why Batman versus Superman was such a complete cluster in terms of its tone and its storytelling. Because despite the fact that this is, you know, we're ratcheting it up in terms of seriousness, there's some conflict here, this movie never escapes the fact that its job is to entertain, and it does so in spades. And so, you know, I think I've been a little hard on it only because in the light of the Winter Soldier, which was an exceptional entry in the series, this one is just a step towards mediocrity, and I don't quite like the direction it's taking personally. But I think, as Yazdi said, we're probably in the minority here. This is scoring tremendously well commercially and among critics.
Score?
7. Started at 7, yeah.
Okay, I agree with something you said, Yazdi. You know, had this been called Avengers 3 Civil War, we would have had totally different expectations. I mean, I didn't love the Captain America series and Winter Soldier as much as you both did, but I enjoyed it a lot. I think just if the title had been different, our expectations would have been different. We would have been scoring this way differently. The most shocking thing to me about this movie was that Captain America uses FedEx. But anyway, despite that...
Does he?
Yeah, he uses FedEx, which was just blew my mind. Despite the fact that this is a really complex story and it's potty and it's jammed full of as many characters who could turn up on the day of shooting, it's fun. 7 out of 10 as well.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, I'm sorry.
I don't get all the nines and tens.
No movie.
I don't understand.
Yeah, it's 91% on the tomato meter.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
But any movie that dares to have Marissa Tomei only in two scenes automatically gets a deduction.
And she's Aunt May. In what universe will Marissa Tomei ever be Aunt May?
That's
miscasting.
That's all the statement you need about Hollywood. Yeah. That's all the statement you need to make about Hollywood, yeah. Really. And, you know, he even says, oh, your aunt is unusually attractive. But what the hell? What the fuck? You've hired Marissa Tomei to play Aunt May to Spider-Man. So, anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Let's wrap it up for today. Let us know what you think of CACW, as I think the Twitterverse has dubbed the movie.
Caca.
Bird poop?
Perhaps.
Mail at movieworldlaws.com, twitter.com/movieworldlaws, facebook.com/movieworldlaws, instagram.com/movieworldlaws. There's a lot of /movieworldlaws, so interact with us. We love it when you do. Until our next episode, too many movies, too little time. A good night from me.
And me.
And me as well.